From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. For today's arts edition of the program, we'll be treated to some amazing jazz music performed live in studio by Southwest Florida-based members of the Brandon Robertson Quintet. Robertson is in the process of mixing and mastering his first album, cleverly titled Based on a True Story. Original songs on the album serve as a kind of chronological audio biography of Robertson's life journey through music. The album is slated for release later this year. Robertson's first professional recording out of this town in 2012 stems from performing with the Zach Bartholomew Trio. He's performed at a number of notable ensembles, events, and venues, including performances with the legendary Count Basie Orchestra, a performance at the world-famous Dizzy's Coca-Cola Club in New York, and he's performed as part of the exclusive inaugural band for Governor Rick Scott back in 2011. He's also performed at a number of notable jazz festivals, both in and outside of Florida, and he's also a hardworking advocate for music education. He also performs regularly with the Dan Miller Lou Delgado Quartet at the Barrel Room in downtown Fort Myers, including a show tonight from 7 to 10, and the other members of that quartet are performing in today's show as well. Robertson is director of jazz studies at the FGCU Bauer School of Music and director of FGCU's basketball band and jazz ensemble. Over nearly the past decade, he's also taught jazz clinics, workshops, and master classes at K-12 schools throughout the state, and he's taught at his alma mater's summer jazz camps for middle and high school students at Florida State University. He also garnered an Emmy nomination for Best Documentary for Educational Collegiate Programs for his doc featuring the FGCU Jazz Ensemble. Robertson has appeared on past editions of Gulf Coast Live, featuring his students here at FGCU. But today, for the first time, we'll get to hear Robertson himself perform. Brandon Robertson, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. Yeah. Other members of the quintet performing today include Dan Miller on trumpet, Lou Delgado on tenor saxophone, Jerry Stalsky on keys, and Tony Vigilante on drums. And in the interest of getting to the show, getting to the music portion of the show as soon as possible, we're just going to go ahead and learn about those other musicians a bit later. And as always, listeners can join our conversation. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And before we get into that talk, let's go ahead and kick things off with a song. This one's going to be Fat Friday. All right, let's go ahead and hear it. Thank you. was Fat Friday, performed by members of the Brandon Robertson Quintet today. And please go ahead and grab that microphone there. Thank you. And they're going to be performing for us throughout the hour, hearing songs from Robertson's upcoming debut album based on a true story. And so, Brandon, since this is kind of a concept album, sort of following your personal history and life journey through music, I thought, the beginning would be the first place, good place to start. You first picked up the bass in grade school around age 10. Mm-hmm. Had you played any instruments before that? And what sort of do you think made you gravitate to the bass?
So my musical background is pretty interesting. My mom was a gospel singer, very well known in the Tampa Bay area. And so I was surrounded by music pretty much my whole life. Wasn't until my fifth grade year where, you start to get introduced to different, extracurricular activities such as, PE, art, music. And so when I got to the music component, there was only six of us in this class, and I was the tallest kid at the time in the class that was able to hold the bass. And I tried violin, didn't work for me. Tried the viola, didn't work for me. Started playing cello, and I started to dig it. And then it wasn't until my teacher noticed that she was like, well, you're pretty tall for your age. Why don't you try the bass? And immediately when I held the bass and I started playing it, I did it so naturally that my teacher was like, have you done this before? And I was like, nope. First time I've ever seen this. So ever since then, the rest is history. Kind of stuck with me.
Now, what about transitioning? Because I imagine at that time, it's more of that traditional classical upbringing. Mm-hmm. How did you come to discover playing jazz?
So my ninth grade year, my freshman year in high school, my band teacher, Mr. Robert Griffin of Blake High School, shout out to Blake High School in Tampa Bay, he reached out to me and he said, I need a bass player for my jazz ensemble. And I was like, well, I've never played jazz before. He's like, all right, here's your homework assignment. I want you to go listen to this record. It just so happened it was Miles Davis' Kind of Blue. So I started listening to that record, and at that time I had never heard bass played in that kind of content. So from there I was like, well, if I know I can play bass pizzicatoing and not always have to arco, that would be great. And so that's kind of how I got introduced to jazz. I started playing it in my jazz band in high school. And then my junior year, I met my future bass teacher, Rodney Jordan. And that's when I attended the FSU jazz camp. And
that you now teach at, I should mention.
Yeah. So now, from that experience, when I did that jazz camp, it really just opened my horizon as how, jazz bass functions, and me playing that kind of music on an upright. So I was very intrigued by that, and I stuck with it, and kind of that's where I'm at now.
All right. And when it comes to your work with jazz studies here at FGCU, mm-hmm. are there any upcoming performances you'd like to plug, let our audiences know about? Or are we kind of done for the season?
Yeah, actually, our last concert was this past Sunday at the Bauer School of Music. We just played our final jazz ensemble concert. However, we do have future dates already that's in the process of going to be listed pretty soon. So if you go to the Bauer School of Music website, you will get all the concert dates. We have four concerts a year, so we have two in the fall and then two in the spring. So be on the lookout for those future dates pretty soon.
All right. Tell us about the song that we just heard, Fat Friday.
So Fat Friday was the very first song I had ever written. This was back in 2005. I got to travel to New Orleans for the first time during Mardi Gras. And I went to New Orleans and I got the experience of the food, the culture, the music, the second lines right on Bourbon Street. I mean, it was all authentic. And I'm very honored that I got to write this song and go to New Orleans right before Katrina hit. Mm. So I got to see the city at its purest before all the damage and everything happened afterwards. So it was my first time actually leaving Florida and being in a city in a scene like that, like a music scene. And I was just really intrigued and impressed. And I just said, man, I just always remember that second line feel, from the drums, from the snare drums. So that's kind of what this song was based off of.
All right. Well, we're about to hear another song here. So before I have you put the microphone down, this is going to be East of the Sun?
Yes.
And is this also going to be on the upcoming album?
Yes, yes. This is by Brooke Bozeman. He was a wonderful composer back in the 1920s. And this was a popular tune that most jazz musicians like to play, but it's very seldom that you hear a bass player play this song, especially in the melody. So This is gonna be a trio feature here. So feature myself, Jerry on piano, and Tony on drums.
All right. Thank you. beautiful. We just heard East of the Sun performed by some of our in-studio musicians today, Brandon Robertson, Tony Vigilante, and Jerry Stalsky. Lou Delgado and Dan Miller are with us as well. We'll be bringing them back in on our next tune. And that song we just heard is also going to be included in Robertson's album based on a true story, set for release a bit later this year. And if you would like to connect with our guests with your comments or questions, give us a call. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And Brandon, I'm going to get you back on the microphone for a minute here. I want to ask a little bit more about the album. But first, I've got to ask again about this Emmy nomination for your documentary featuring your students with the FGCU Jazz Ensemble. Tell us about that.
Yes, so want to give a special thanks to Jasmine and Tim over in the media department. They're the ones who actually shot the documentary, and they submitted it to the Suncoast Emmy Committee, and we got nominated for an award for that. So I was very proud of that moment. What I was originally doing with that particular concept is I wanted to kind of expose the jazz side of the Bauer School of Music and what we do here. When I first started working here at FGCU, it was just very limitations to what was offered. And so what I did was I took what was already established and I tried to expand upon that. So hence is when I would bring my combo to perform here on the radio, or we would do guest appearances in the different schools and perform. I know my combo has played for the Sanibel Jazz Festival, and so I wanted to expose all of that. So that documentary that was done was just a way of us showcasing what the Bauer School of Music has to offer. And our school is on the rise. You know, we have wonderful ensembles that are in place there. So I just wanted to kind of highlight what the jazz ensemble was doing and what we were contributing to enhance the music side of Bauer School of Music.
All right. And let's talk about this upcoming album based on a true story.
Sure, yeah.
I love the title. Is this truly a concept album in the sense that the chronological order of the songs on the album, like if we listen to them as intended, it sort of takes you on this broader journey?
Yes. So I specifically tracked every song based off of the year that it was written and what was going on during that time period. So, like, for instance, Fat Friday was in 2005. The next song that we're going to play, once we start playing Majestic Nights, that was back in 2010. So this was like in a different point of my life where I had just finished undergrad at FSU and I was starting to become a professional musician on my own and being able to travel overseas and, you know, leave the United States for the first time ever. And, you know, once you go through more of the record, you start to hear the music get a lot more involved, a lot more complicated, a lot more mature. And that's me showcasing to the world, like, hey, you know, I started off as a young 19-year-old up until now in my mid-30s now, like just trying to show the growth of where I've gone. So the very last song on the album was written here in Southwest Florida.
Oh.
So it was right when I started teaching here at FGCU. So it's up to the point where I'm at currently.
All right. And, you know, you told that story about, you know, Fat Friday, the first song we heard, and you know, connecting that to that first experience stepping onto the scene in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Are all of the songs, do they all have some kind of unique, influential experience that they're tied to?
Yes. Every last song has a great storyline behind it, which is why I called it based on a true story. Because if you read the liner notes in the record, it explains each song in depth, like where the concept came from and where I was in my life at that time frame. So just to give you a small highlight on this next song, Majestic Nights, I got to work on a cruise ship. That was my first professional gig. And we went overseas and we went to Barcelona. And I remember hearing this local band in the city and they were kind of playing this like the Spanish team kind of sound. And I had never heard music played like that. You know, I'm a Floridian. I've only lived in Florida my whole life. So to go that far away from the U.S. and hear music like that, it just really broadened me, like as a musician and as a person. So I just remember coming back when I came back to the States, just more intrigued and more inclined with what's going on outside of the world. It made me realize there's so much more outside than just what I've been seeing here in Florida and, you know, here in the States.
All right. Well, let's hear Majestic Nights.
All right. Here we go.
Thank you.
All right. We just heard Dan Miller on trumpet, Lou Delgado on saxophone, Jerry Stalsky on piano, Tony Vigilani on drums, and Brandon Robertson on bass. And that song was Majestic Nights, an original composition by Robertson, and that will be included on his upcoming album based on a true story. And Brandon, I'm going to ask you to grab the microphone again here for a minute, because I want to ask you a bit about, I guess, just the process of working with musicians to create this album and record it, because, you know, of course, a fundamental aspect of jazz is improvisation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, particularly when it comes to your original compositions, mm-hmm. it seems like there'd still just be like a great deal of collaboration.
Yeah. So the writing process was fun for me, but the actual recording process was a lesson. I was learning a lot on the spot when you present your charts to the musicians, you know, making sure that the charts are readable, making sure that everything is in the right range, making sure that there's no discrepancies in terms of like the notes and articulations and things of that nature. And it challenged me to go back and really evaluate, like, okay, what didn't work, what actually worked. And then once you start recording it and you hear it back, you're like, oh, maybe I should change this, or maybe I should do this. So it was fun for me because all the musicians that are on the record, they all had suggestions and great ideas that they're like, man, I'm hearing this, why don't we try this? Or, oh, maybe you should take this out because it's kind of getting in the way of what we're really trying to go for. And so that was the fun part of the process, you know, getting them to really bring all of my original music to life, because I've only heard them just by myself, or, you know, whoever I had read the charts down. But once they got to study it a little bit and, you know, really dig into the depth of the songs, each songs, you know, every song started to create its own life form. So
can you talk about some of the musicians you've collaborated with for this album?
Yeah, sure.
I was particularly surprised to see Avis Berry involved, because I didn't realize there was going to be vocal elements to the
album.
Yeah,
So on the record, I'm featuring a multitude of different musicians. I did two different sessions, one in North Florida at FSU, at the College of Music. My former professor, Leon Anderson, who is the jazz studies director up at FSU, he's the drummer. Mason Margit, who is a young, up-and-coming, vibrant, very virtuoso pianist. I got to play with him for 2 years when I was in graduate school. And Avis Berry, who is a vocalist up in Tallahassee, who I worked with for several years. Her and I were actually in a neo-soul jazz band called Jazz Copeland. An incredible singer. Like, once people hear this vocal song on the record, you'll see why I say that. And that was part of the North Florida session. I'm also for the South Florida session, which was recorded here at FGCU, featuring Lou Delgado, of course, on saxophone. My really dear friend, James Suggs out of Tampa, wonderful, wonderful trumpeter. And I have Zach Bartholomew, who was my former bandmate that I was in a band with the Zach Bartholomew Trio, on piano. And then Gerald Watkins Jr., who was a friend, close buddy of mine's that I went to graduate school with, who now plays with the New Orleans Jazz Orchestra. He's the drummer in that band, as well as he plays with Ellis Marsalis from time to time. So I have a variation of different musicians. And also, I forgot to mention one more person, Adrian Crutchfield, who is one of my closest friends. He was a saxophonist that performed with Prince for 5 years. Oh, wow. So I got an collection of different musicians that are on this album, and they all bring the music to life.
And if I remember correctly, you were originally planning for like a spring release, then Hurricane Michael happened.
Yeah, so originally the record was supposed to come out sooner. Then we had a devastating Category 4-5 hurricane that hit South Florida and kind of took things out and pushed everything back. And so I had to revamp my recording process because a lot of my material got lost. But it worked out. It worked out. God works in mysterious ways, and it works out for the best because He blessed me with the musicians that I have now that are on this, that were in the Southwest Florida session. They just really enhanced the music. So, not saying that it was bad before, but it really came out to life now. So, I mean, everything happens for a reason. So, I was very grateful that we were able to re-record the music and get it going now.
All right. So the recording's all done.
Yes.
What stage of production are we in now?
So we're in the final stages of the mixing and the mastering. Once that is over with, I'm working with a distribution company out of Canada that's going to help me manufacture the record. And then I'm also going to be working with a publicist that'll help me promote and push the record out to the masses. So they were suggesting to me we need a 90-day grace period to really campaign for you really hard. So that's where they're looking at a fall release.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It won't be July. It'll be a little bit later.
No, it'll actually be pushed back to September. And when it was explained to me, it made a lot of sense because we want to get radio play. We want to get press release, magazine reviews, and things of that nature. So.
And I checked out your Kickstarter campaign this morning. It's almost reached its goal.
Yeah. So for those out there listening, I started the Kickstarter campaign to kind of help raise funds to complete the final productions of the album and whatnot. So if you go to my website, which is www.brandonrobertsonmusic.com, there is a tab on there that says based on a true story, and it'll take you straight to my Kickstarter campaign. If you feel obligated to make a generous donation, that would be great. And while I'm on air, I would like to say this, because this has already been put out there. I'm going to take 10% of my final sales of my album, and I'm going to donate it to the RCMA community school in Immokalee. Oh. One of my former students here at FGCU, she's the music teacher out there, and they've been trying to raise money to buy their students instruments, music, and that such. So I decided to kind of give back to the community and give some of my proceeds to help them out as well. So if you do donate to this Kickstarter, just know that this is not going directly in my pocket. There's a bigger cause for this. So
All right. Good to know. Well, let's go ahead and hear another song here. This one is Peace by Midnight.
Yes.
Another one of your originals.
Yes.
Do you want to say a little bit about it before we play?
Peace by Midnight was written in 2013. It was written right before I went to audition for graduate school at FSU. I was in a point in my life where I just was struggling and frustrated with where I was as a musician. And, you know, I wanted something bigger and better for myself. And rest in peace, and God bless my mother-in-law, Ada Campos. She had a long talk with me and was one of the people who really encouraged me to go back to school. And so I kind of wrote this song based off of the point that I was in my life, and I just needed some peace. And I felt that peace when I finally decided to break down and say, you know what, I'm going to go back and get my master's degree. And it benefited in the long run, because now I'm here.
So, all right. All right. Well, let's hear Peace by Midnight.
All right.
That was Peace by Midnight, composed by Southwest Florida's own bassist Brandon Robertson, also performed by our amazing cast of musicians in studio today, Lou Delgado, Dan Miller, Jerry Stalski, and Tony Vigilante. And that song, again, is going to be on Robertson's upcoming album based on a true story. Listeners can join the conversation today with your comments and questions. The phone number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And I want to keep the vocal mic over on this side of the room for a minute because I'd love to talk to Dan and Lou for a little bit. I know that the two of you performed as a duo down here for a number of years before forming the quartet. And I was curious about, I guess, how you found Brandon. Had you decided you wanted to do the quartet before you met him? And this is Dan.
Hi. Well, I had known Leon Anderson, the great drummer, from his work with Wynton Marsalis and Ellis Marsalis for probably since 1990 or 1989. And, of course, Scotty Barnhart, who now leads the Count Basie Orchestra, the great trumpeter. And they both comprise the faculty at Florida State. And Brandon's wife had graduated the year before and was down working in Immokalee for Habitat for Humanity. And Brandon was finishing his last year of his master's. And so he was planning on moving down here. And I got a call from Leon and Scotty, and they put us in touch with Brandon. So this wonderful young bassist is going to be moving to Southwest Florida from Tallahassee, and we want to put him in touch with you. And so while he was completing his master's, and he would come down and visit his family and his wife's family, we would try to find a spot for him to get together and play with us on weekends. And so that started. And when he moved down here full time, it just so happened to coincide that summer with the people at the Barrel Room. Steve and Denise Hollister, they got blues on Friday and Saturday, and they wanted to start jazz on a Thursday. So they reached out, and we thought the place is intimate, and we want to use four pieces and a little more freedom, trumpet, tenor, bass, and drums. And we thought of including Brandon on this thing, and we've been running over there every Thursday since June 2016. So that's how that partnership started, right after he moved to town. And we've been playing together quite a bit on a lot of different formations.
Yeah, I still distinctly remember the first time I walked into the Barrel Room on a Thursday night and just being blown away. And it felt like that traditional style jazz club that I used to patronize when I lived back up in Pittsburgh. And it's not something that, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here. You guys would know better than me, but I don't see a whole lot of venues that allow for what you guys do every Thursday.
It's a completely unique entity in this area.
Yeah.
A lot of times we play a lot of great places, but they could be a supper club or a different type of venue, where what's happening down there at the Barrel Room on Thursdays, it's a straight up jazz gig, just like you would see in New York or Chicago, or like you said, in Pittsburgh,
yeah,
where we can hit it from the very beginning and play hard with high intensity all night. And I think that's what appeals to everybody, because they enjoy our music wherever we play, but down there we can play hardcore bebop, which we can't do everywhere we work.
Right, right.
Right, Lou?
Yeah.
Absolutely. People have come up to me and say, wow, this feels like I'm in New York, or like Dan said, all those other places that have great jazz all the time, and they say that's practically the only place down in Florida where you can hear that kind of music on a consistent weekly basis. So it's great fun.
And Lou, I've got to ask you, just, and I apologize if you're probably tired of being asked questions about this all the time, but performing with the Saturday Night Live band right there from the beginning, from 75 to 79, then again from 85 to 2005, and I know you can't encompass that that long experience into just a few sentences, but I mean, if you had to, because I'm going to ask you to, how would you describe that?
Well, basically, the gig was a very fun gig. It was loose. The band was great because you're in New York. We always had great players. Few people changed here and there over the years, but you know, New York, if you can't get a great, put a great band together, you should pack up and leave, you know, because there are so many great players there. It always works. And like I said, the gig was loose. We had fun. We laughed a lot. And but when it came time to play the music, everybody, no matter what style it was, whether it was R&B or country or swing jazz or, you know, whatever, rock and roll, we were up for it, and everybody knew exactly how to play the style. And it's a studio band. You know, people think, well, it's just a band. It's a band of studio musicians. And when G.E. Smith was there, he had a sign put up that said, "All kinds of music played here," you know, which is what it was. You might have to accompany a country singer or you know, we played with Eric Clapton, sat in with us one night, and it was just incredible the amount of people that we got to play for, played for Aretha Franklin, played for, I can't even remember. It was so many things went on there, you know,
yeah.
But it was great, great gig.
And my initial thought thinking about that was, well, you know, the amount of work that goes into like producing this weekly show, there's no way there would have been that much time for fraternization between the cast members and the band members. But then I remembered, well, G.E. Smith was married to Gilda Radner for a time, so maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that happened. That happened before he did the show, I think.
Okay.
But the thing was, there is not really a lot of time, except after the show. You know, there's an after party. Sometimes you get to hang. But during the show, they're so busy because the show is changing constantly. It's being rewritten as it goes. It's being rewritten and edited right up until airtime. So there's no time for just hanging out for them. You know, we were pretty consistent. There were a few changes, which we were able to do, but it wasn't changing lines in every sketch, you know, so... That's why everybody reads cue cards. There's no other way to do it.
Right, right. Well, thanks for humoring me down that line of questioning. I appreciate it. Let's go ahead and hear our next to last song, and this one is The Pursuit?
Yes.
Okay.
The Pursuit.